Good morning. We're ready to start now. Thank you very much for coming to join us this morning. My name is Mrs. Highland. I'm deputy head of secondary school, in case any of you don't know me yet. This morning we're going to be talking about approaches to homework in secondary school. This is a workshop that we've done in the past, so hopefully you are all new parents or year 7 parents that are joining us for year 6. So obviously this will be the first time you've listened to this information about our approaches to secondary homework. Okay? So we'll be here for about half an hour or so. If you do have any questions, please feel free to interject if you have them at some point, and we can make this a more interactive Q&A session if needed as well. So teaching, there's a lot of facts. Okay? Every year things come around and new ideas get put into place. But one thing that we always really try to make sure that we do at Moving Points, whenever we try and do something new, we think about these three things. Why are we doing it? What is the purpose behind the decision that we're making? And once we've established what that purpose is, and we think that purpose is absolutely valid and it's important to our student outcomes, then we think about how. So how are we going to achieve that purpose through what we're doing? And then finally, we think about what. So what do we expect to happen as a result of that? Okay, so what are the outcomes that are going to be happening as a result of the new initiative? And so we're talking about homework this morning. And one thing that we also try and do at Dover is we make sure that anything that we do is backed up with research. So I'm going to be talking to you this morning about approaches to homework, but really what we're looking at is these four key things. Now these key things through research have been shown to have a direct impact on student outcomes. And so when we think back to our why are we doing something, this is really key. So we need to make sure that everything that we do really does have a direct impact on student outcomes and actually improves the learning of the students. And these four things have been proved to do so in this particular order. So we're going to start with homework, which is at the bottom, and in particular secondary homework. It's actually the outcome for primary homework, it's slightly different. But we can see that these four things, homework, mastery learning, metacognition, self-regulation, and feedback, really do have a positive impact on student outcomes. And that is our why. This is why we are doing this. So as I said, we're going to start by looking at secondary homework. Now, our approaches are different at different key stages. So at key stage 3, we do something very different to what we do at key stage 4 and key stage 5. And again, there's a reason behind that. And we'll come back to that when we look at these bit later on. But ultimately, what we all are trying to do at Dover Court is to prepare our students for their next steps. So when they leave Dover Court, whether that be at age 16 or 18, whether it be in between, when going to different schools, if you relocate, we need to make sure that our students are ready to hit the ground running to whatever they want to do next, and make sure we open as many doors for them as possible. So how do we do this? What is the process that enables us to make that happen, to make sure that they are able to hit the ground running and do whatever it is that they want next? Well, one of those things, as we said, is through homework. Okay? So we're going to start by looking at Key Stage 3. So Key Stage 3 in the UK curriculum is Years 7, 8, now we need to make sure that our homework does all of these things. We need to make sure that our homework is high quality tasks. We need to make sure that our homework stretches learners, but also supports learners as well. We need to make sure that our homework is consistent across the school, so that the experience they're getting in geography is very similar to in history, is very similar to in science, to ensure that students really understand what is expected of them. We need to make sure that there are manageable deadlines for students, so that students feel that they can be successful and that they can achieved, but also challenged, and we need to make sure that our homework policy also enables us to help and support learners who may be struggling or underperforming in some particular curriculum areas. And so in Key Stage 3 we use what is called the tic-tac-toe method. Now those parents who have come up from Year 6, you will have already had some experience of this. Part of the transition process from Year 6 to Year 7 is they do start using form tic-tac-toe homework, so that when they get to Year 7, not everything is brand new. But what it means is basically in every subject, they have a choice of 3 homework tasks per term. And the element behind this is really choice. So for the homework task number 1, there'll be 4 different options. For homework task number 2, there'll be 4 different options. And then there's a central task that all students do. Now the idea behind this about giving them choice is that we understand that students really do have a variety of learning styles. Some students really like to do things like creative. Some students prefer more writing-based tasks. Some students really want to go away and do additional research, whereas some students might struggle with that independently. So they might want to focus on something that's already been covered in class. So by having four different tasks that students can choose for, it enables a variety of learning styles, but also a variety of challenge there. So some of the tasks are purposely designed to be more supportive for some students, whereas some of those tasks are designed to really stretch those more able students as well. When we come back to later on thinking about what you can do to help support homework, choosing the right task is really, really important, and that's something that you can play a role in at home as well, making sure they choose the right task for their learning style and also the right task for their ability. So the idea is that they do three tasks across the year. Now, in an ideal world, they do it in a straight line, if it looks neat, but in reality, it doesn't matter. We don't mind if they do it in a slightly wonky line, as long as they're choosing one task from number one, one task from the number twos, and then the central task in it. And what we also do is we make sure that all the deadlines are managed across the term, and I'll show you what that looks like in a minute. So each of the tasks, so there are nine of them, and each of the tasks will look like this. So there's a very clear learning outcome to the task, and this goes back to the why we're doing this. So what do the teachers want the students to achieve by doing this particular task? Now what you might find for some of the tasks is that all four learning outcomes are the same, because that's exactly what the teacher wants them to achieve, or it may be that the learning outcomes are slightly different depending on what the subject. So this is an example of the Year 7 history. This is a very, probably kind of a middle ability task. So the learning outcome is to be able to understand the life of a town dweller in the Middle Ages. And then the task is clearly laid out. So write 10 questions about towns in the Middle Ages. Imagine you are a town dweller and give detailed answers to the interview questions you have written. So not only do they have to generate the questions, but they have to go away, they have to do the research, they have to find the answers, put themselves into the character, that they've been given and respond to those questions. So this is a task will probably take around an hour or so. And ideally they would split that up into different parts. So maybe one day they'll be thinking about the questions, then they might go away and do 20 minutes, half an hour of research, and then obviously spend a bit more time writing the answers as well. Each of the tasks have a particular due date. Usually it's given as week commencing, so let's say week commencing 20th of August. And then the teacher would individually say when that homework is due in. So they may see them maybe two or three times during that week, and they might say to them, okay, we'll have it in the first lesson, or it might be the last lesson. But the teacher will let them know individually, class by class, when exactly their homework is due in. And then we have some top tips as well. So with the homework booklet, there are a variety of number of general tips that come alongside that. Advice to students about how to do research, how to organise, how to plan work. There may be very subject-specific tips as well. It could be, for example, the name of a website that the teacher might advise them to go and look at as part of their research. So that's what each of those nine boxes will look like. And that's consistent across all the subjects that do tick that over. This is an example of what the deadlines might look like. So what you can see is that some of the subjects are grouped together. So for example, art and DT share a task sheet. The reason behind that is because the students only have one lesson in each subject per week of those particular subjects, so we share those, whereas obviously in science and geography they have more lessons per week. So you can see that the tasks are evenly spread out. There shouldn't really be ever more than two, at the top three homeworks due in each week. And the idea is that right within the term, students know exactly how their time should be managed and should know exactly when to begin their task and then know when they're handed in as well. Some students do struggle with this, I'm not going to lie. They do find the element of time planning quite a challenge, but it's really, really important that this is a skill that we develop in our students right from the very young. And actually, within about a term or so, within year seven, particularly for new students who haven't yet experienced this in year six, we find that actually they're very, very good at it. And we really have very little issues in terms of homework not being handed in on time. The teachers always remind the students the week before as well, and they're just a reminder, by the way, our next task is due in next week. And we also put the tic-tac-toe deadlines into our secondary spotlight communication, which goes out each week as well, so that you can keep on top of it from your side as well. And really, that's what I'm going to come on to next. It's about all of us helping the students. So the students obviously play a huge role in it, but the teachers do, and also so do the parents as well. And that's why we really appreciate you coming to find out more about it this morning. So each student is given this booklet. This booklet will also be placed on the parent portal, I believe, or on the website. So you can see all of class, and you can see all the deadlines as well set out for you. In the preceding lessons, when the homework is due in, the teachers will spend time going through each of the tasks, really making it clear what it is that the students are supposed to do for each of those tasks, what the expectations are. We really feel that this helps support students to develop their study skills and to understand a bit more about time management. And ultimately, in Key Stage 3, it's helping them for that next transition into Key Stage 4, where they have to do IGCSE, and actually time management and study skills becomes really, really important. So all of this is leading up to the preparation for that as well, for GCSE and the IB diploma. Core subjects. Now these work slightly differently. So these English and Maths sit outside of the tic-tac-toe booklet. So they will have additional homework each week in English and Maths. In Year 7 and Year 8, Science is part of the tic-tac-toe booklet. However, in Year 9, it's now going to be outside of the tic-tac-toe booklet. The reason being that in Year 9, they're actually going to begin the GCSE curriculum already. It's such a huge curriculum to get through, that we're starting it early to enable our students to get the best possible outcomes. But it means that then they will follow the IGCSE programme for homework in Year 9 for Science as well. And then finally, come back to the what then. So what do we expect to see at the end of this homework? Now, if we go back to the research that we did, we saw homework has a +5 positive correlation to student outcomes. But actually, right at the top is feedback. And this is really important for us teachers, because this really hammers home that actually the most important thing that we do to our teachers is to feed back, to make sure that the students understand exactly what they did well in the homework, but also to make sure that they understand exactly what they need to do to improve that as well. So by having, in some sense, less homework, the feedback that we can give them is far more personalised and far more effective. So every homework that's handed in for the tic-tac-toe homework will be marked using this feedback sheet, and this will be either stuck in the student's book or attached to the piece of work if it can't go into the book. And it clearly reminds the students what the learning outcome was for the homework. It lets them know whether or not they've achieved that learning outcome. And then it provides three written targets. So there's a comment to say what the students did well or particular successful aspects of that homework. They then get given a target. So if they were to have repeated that homework, what could they have done to make it better? And then they're set a challenge as well. And the idea is that the challenge is more generic and can link into their next piece of homework. So it could be something to do with making sure that they use reliable sources of information, or making sure that they reference the sources of information that they use. So it's something that when they come and do the next piece of homework, they can look back at their previous homework, think about that challenge question, and try and make sure that they achieve that in that next piece of homework. So these are some examples of what they look like when they're completed. I think these are some French examples from last year. And some teachers also use the yellow feed forward. So once they give students their feedback, they might spend maybe 10 minutes or so in a lesson getting the students to feed forward, so making sure they've really understood and have taken on board that feedback and know exactly what they need to do next time. We take homework very seriously. The standard is extremely high that we get from the students. And actually having this less is more approach really enables that to happen. So students really take pride in their pieces of homework. I remember one student a couple of years ago bringing in literally a whole medieval castle at one point, which was a bit of a challenge to store and to provide written feedback on. But it was a fantastic piece of work. It just shows actually that they really take it seriously. And giving them that element of choice as well enables them to choose something that they really want to do. For that piece of homework. So when we do get fantastic pieces of homework, we've got lots of different ways that we can give them praise as well. So we have certificates of effort that we can hand out, and then really fantastic pieces of homework can get a head teacher's commendation letter as well. And we've sent out at least 10 to 15 of those across last year, so that was really great to see as well. Now, as I said, right at the beginning, some students do find it difficult to manage their homework expectations. So if you find that a student is consistently not able to meet those deadlines, then we do have a structure in place which we can do, which is called a homework action plan. So the progress leaders for each year group will identify particular students who they feel are consistently missing those deadlines, meet with the students, set some clear targets, feed those back to parents to make sure that we're all on board and we can get that student back on track to enable them to meet those deadlines. And a lot of the time it is just about time management. So we make sure that we use tube planners to really effectively get students to think about, okay, well, if I know I'm going home during 3 weeks, I need to start thinking about it now. You know, what am I going to do? Which task am I going to choose? And so it's to enable that conversation and that dialogue to be a little bit more structured if needed for some students. So at Key Stage 4 then, and Key Stage 5, we operate slightly differently to meet the needs of the courses and obviously the increased maturity of those students. So in each subject area, the homework is very bespoke. There's no particular consistency or standard that the students have to have across curriculum areas, because all the curriculum areas are very, very different. The demands of the courses are very different. Some courses have, for example, like coursework element, so a lot of homework may be around preparing the coursework. Some subjects may have quite a large practical element, so homework may be around rehearsals and things like that. So we understand that actually a set approach does not work for Key Stage 4 or Key Stage 5. But that said, there is a standard that students must expect, which is that they're high quality tasks and that they are given very, very detailed feedback again on those homeworks. But the homework, it does increase, so they will expect maybe 2 hours per subject in homeworks, particularly at Key Stage 5, and perhaps an hour a week at Key Stage 4. But again, it's all about preparing the students for those next steps in their life, whether it's doing those assessments at the end of Key Stage 4 or Key Stage 5, or when they go into the world of work, having to meet deadlines and to manage their time effectively as well. Back to the research. So we looked at homework, we looked at feedback. So actually, let's call Mission 7 for regulation. And mastery moments are the next two key things which have a real clear impact on student outcomes. And this is what we look at particularly at Key Stage 4 in the style of our homework. So in Key Stage 4, students are given what are called knowledge and skills organisers. Now, in some subjects, they might get a particular file. Some students might decide to put all their subjects together in one file. Some subjects, rather than having a physical file, have an online storage space where this is stored. But for each of their subjects, they will have knowledge and skills organisers. And what this means is as they're going through the courses, as they're finishing each unit, they are given particular tasks which help them ensure that they've really mastered content for that particular unit and have really understood what it is that they need to know in terms of examinations. So it might be, for example, looking at dates and events. So for example, in history, then students might be given something that looks like this to go into their skills and knowledge organisers. So the teacher has, for example, identified all the key dates and the key events which are looked at in this particular unit of work. What they then may have to do is to use that information. So they've got to show that they've understood it. So only one particular task from using this information might be that they then have to go to dates. So it's just a quick test, a quick quiz to say, well, okay, these are all the events that you need to know about. When did they happen? So they have to refer back to this to make sure they've understood. The next step might be doing it slightly differently. So they get given the dates, and then they have to know when the events are. So it's all about mastery learning. It's repeating the same thing over and over again so that they are really clearly understood. Because in an exam, the way that the question's worded could be different. So it could be that they get given the events and they need to know the dates, and it could be the other way around. So this enables them to really practice that knowledge to make sure that they've got it really understood. Different subjects do it differently. If that was a history example, global citizenship, what I used to do was I would print out the subject syllabus, and at the end of each unit, we would go back through the subject syllabus. I would make the students demonstrate each of the content skills that they needed to know and link it to case studies that we would have. So again, this is a really good way of revising the knowledge at the end of each unit, because when they get to the end of year 11, they're obviously also being tested off things that they learned right back at the beginning of year 10, which is almost 2 years previously. So actually, the skills and knowledge organisers become a much more important tool for revision than perhaps their exercise books that they use throughout the school year. In maths, again, it's looking at practice papers. So once they finish a particular topic, they will go back and redo practice papers to make sure that they've really mastered that knowledge and those skills as well. The steps in the process are as follows. So the idea is that the first step of this is to create the information. So the history example I showed at the beginning would be one that the teacher might give to them, so the teacher creates it in that sense. But it could be that actually in one particular topic they want the students to create it, so the students would be asked to create a set of revision notes. Once they've obviously got those, they have to go away and learn them. They then get tested, and this is about the mastery knowledge, the mastery day. So they have quizzes, they might be online quizzes, they might be just regular pen to paper quizzes. They can then evaluate their subject gaps, their knowledge, you know, where are the gaps, what do they need to fill, what do they need to go back and practice, and then they can move forward to the next step. So it's really just revisiting all the content as they move through. So really, that's it for me. So Key Stage 4 and Key Stage 5 work in a very, very similar way. And then obviously at Key Stage 3, we do the tic-tac-toe. So if anyone's got any questions, please feel free to ask them now. In terms of the next steps for tic-tac-toe booklets, you should be getting those by the end of next week. So the first deadline will usually be within about 2 weeks when the booklets are received, to make sure the machines have enough time to do that. In terms of what you guys can do to help us there, as I said right at the beginning, help the students pick tic-tac-toe tasks. So really sit down and engage with those booklets with the students. Get them to really think about, if they choose a particular task, what is it going to look like at the end, and how are they going to achieve that? And make sure that they choose the right task. You know, we want the task to challenge the students, but if it's something that they cannot do independently and is requiring a lot of help from you, then it's not the right task for them. So if you're ever unsure about what task your student should do, please just contact their subject teacher and just get the student. Ideally the student will do it, but if you don't think that the student is going to engage in it, feel free to just contact the teacher and ask for their advice and say, which task do you think my child should do for this particular homework? And they will help you, because you know, we want to challenge, but it shouldn't be an impossible task. And there should be other tasks that they are capable of doing. In terms of research, you know, a lot of this does require time on computers at home to do research, and you know, obviously it's up to you as parents to decide how you monitor that. We do a lot of work in school about making sure they use reliable sources. We try to get them to steer away from Wikipedia and think about using BBC Learning and other resources like that, which the information is a lot more reliable. And then the other thing that you can do as parents as well is to really help at the end check their homework and just think, have they written that themselves? Now, we do a lot of work, particularly in Key Stage 4 and Key Stage 5, about academic honesty. And we talk about it in Key Stage 3 as well, but sometimes it's a little bit hard for students to understand what that actually means. Because obviously we expect them to go away and do research on their homework, but what we don't want is them to just copy and paste bits from the internet and put it into a homework, because that doesn't demonstrate that they've actually understood it. And it's really, really easy as teachers to tell when they've done that. They think they can pull all over our eyes, but they can't. So it's really obvious when they have done that. And when you're checking homework and maybe looking over it before they hand it in, you know, question them about things. If you think they've used a word that they probably don't understand, it's likely that they've just copied and pasted it off the internet. And that's something that we do all the time when they hand in homework. People say, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? And if they can't tell us, then we know that they've not really understood that. And that's not what we want. So that's another thing that we can really help us with as well. Okay? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming. I know we have a question.
Thank you for listening to the Dover Court Podcast. Please subscribe to our channel.